Let's see what we got in here. Look at the Bible attendance in this place. My. More than a Bible bookstore. This is good, isn't it? Let's say this together in faith. This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. I believe this will be life-changing to you today. I want you to open up to two places, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and then pretty close to it, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Romans chapter 8, and then 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're talking about being led by the Spirit today, the Holy Spirit. And I'll review just a little bit after we read this first verse. Romans chapter 8 and 1 Corinthians 2. We'll start with Romans 8:14. I'm reading from the New King James, so if you don't have that particular translation, that's okay. There are a number of good translations out. But for the sake of all reading together, if you don't have the New King James, follow along on PowerPoint as we read out loud together. Romans chapter 8, let's all read out loud verse 14 together. Reading loudly and reading together, let's read. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Let's read it again. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. How many of you believe that God wants Christians to be led by the Holy Spirit? That's what this is talking about, isn't it? It's not an automatic thing. This is a stick shift, though. Christianity is stick shift. It's not automatic. The only thing automatic is God and everything He does. But everything we do is stick shift. In other words, you have to intentionally do it. It doesn't just all happen for you. But the opportunity is there. I mean, the Holy Spirit will sometimes push the clutch in for you. But you still have to shift because He wants it to be us. He wants us to be the ones relating to Him and loving Him. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Well, we began talking about being filled with the Spirit, and then we got into being led by the Holy Spirit. We talked about quite a number of things. One thing we talked about was that the Holy Spirit is a person. He's not an it. He's not an inanimate object. He's not a cloud or a fog or a mist. He's not a processing computer chip. No, He's a person. And we found out from the Bible that He thinks. He thinks. When you get out of the will of God, take a wrong turn somewhere, the Holy Spirit knows the will of God for your life, and He helps you to get from where you are back to where you need to be. And sometimes He has to take you around the block to get back there because you turned on a one-way street. And there's no turning. How many of you know some decisions you can't just go back on today? You're going to have to work through that. But the Holy Spirit knows how to work through that with you. And He may take you around the block, but He's got a plan to get you right back on track with where you need to be. That's being led by the Holy Spirit. He's a person. He thinks. Well, He also talks. He speaks. And we found that all over the Word of God. He also feels. Just like you have feelings, and people can say things and do things that hurt you. You know, if you're around somebody that continually says things that injure you, what do you do? Well, some people are real mouthy, and they'll say things back. They'll retaliate. Let me tell you about the Holy Spirit. He's not like that. He's not real mouthy. He's not real mouthy. In fact, you remember when Jesus was filled with the Spirit, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus in bodily form as a tiger. You remember that? Was it? No, it wasn't a tiger. It wasn't a bobcat. It wasn't some vicious animal. What was it? A dove. Gentle. Gentle. That describes a lot about the personality of the Holy Spirit. Very gentle. And so if you do things and say things to injure Him, ignore Him and such, He'll just back off. Not because He doesn't want to help you, not because He doesn't love you, but because you are not honoring Him. You are not reverencing Him and respecting Him. And so He'll just back off and let you make a mess of things. But how many of you know that's not us here at the Rock? Isn't that right? No, we're an obedient people. That would have been a great place for an amen right about there. That would have been. Wouldn't it? An unprovoked amen would have been so appropriate right then. We here at the Rock are not a disobedient people. We're an obedient people. Isn't that right? We're among those. We're going to get it. We're among those who are sensitive to the things of the Spirit. That's why we're spending time. We're learning, aren't we? We're learning. We're growing. And so he feels, we found out the Holy Spirit can be grieved. He can be grieved. And we don't want to do that. And we're learning not to do that. We also found out that there is a grace that we have available to us to be led by the Spirit. You don't have to be perfect to be led by the Spirit. If you were perfect, you wouldn't need to be led by the Spirit. Isn't that right? Because perfection is the same as being led by the Spirit. No, you wouldn't need it. There's a grace for people who are imperfect, who make mistakes, who still have problems with sin and flesh. There's a grace that we can come to God and confess that sin. And I mean, as soon as we confess it, the Bible says God forgives us and appropriates the blood of Jesus that has already been shed for that sin. And instantly we're back in fellowship with God. Not that we were out of relationship, because we're not. You don't lose your salvation when you mess up and sin. Aren't you glad about that? Thank God. No, we've received the righteousness of God. But you do. When you knowingly sin, you're walking out of line, alignment with God and in disobedience. It breaks the connection, just like it does when you know somebody close to you, your boss wants you to do something, and you intentionally go against them and do something different. Well, that's going to cause some problems. This is a relationship with a real being, a real person. And so it breaks fellowship. But as soon as you come back, I learn to confess quickly. Oh, Lord, forgive my sin. Then I feel so stupid sometimes. As much as God and I have been through, and for me to ever, ever be disobedient, ever, in the slightest way, is just foolishness. It is. And I feel so silly. Oh, God, what's the matter with me? Like Paul. Man, the things that I want to do, I don't do. And the things that I don't want to do, I still end up doing it. And you just feel like, man, what's the matter with me? Well, we've got flesh. We've got a part of us, we've got a mind still that thinks in many ways contrary to God. The carnal mind is enmity, hostility against God. And we give into it sometimes, and then we got to come back and confess. All of us. But how many of you know there's a grace of God that has already been granted? As soon as we enact that grace, it flows, and the Bible says, and where there's a lot of sin, there's a lot more grace than sin. Isn't that what it says? Where sin abounded, grace abounded. Much more. Much more. And so there's a grace to be led. You don't have to be perfect. Anybody can be led by the Holy Spirit. Anybody. If you just walk in the light and confess your sin when you mess up and say, Lord, forgive me. Lead me by your Spirit. Instantly, you're automatically in a position to be led now by the Holy Spirit. There's a grace. Stand strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We talked about that. You can get these CDs or tapes if you'd like to, because we spent time on each of these. Then we began to talk about four categories or four ways that the Holy Spirit leads us. Four different ways that I felt like God wanted us to talk about. One was through the Word, that when you're reading the Bible, and here at The Rock, we all read the Bible every day together. Isn't that right? At least that New Testament passage, we have two tracts, but at least that New Testament passage, we all read every day together. And when you're reading the Bible, if you open up your heart, ask the Holy Spirit before you start reading. He will highlight certain things to you and speak to you. Sometimes it has nothing to do with what they were talking about, but the principle of it does have to do with your life. And he'll show you what he's saying to you and when it's to be appropriated. And we talked about him highlighting things to you, but we also talked about what Jesus said, that the Holy Spirit sometimes brings to your remembrance things. You're not even reading the Bible, but he reminds you of a scripture or a passage, and he gives you direction that way. That's one of the ways the Holy Spirit leads us, is through the Word. Then last week we talked about the voice of your spirit as distinct from the Holy Spirit. Your spirit. The voice of your spirit. And how that's all in the category of being led by the Spirit, is listening to your spirit. And so let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we're going to talk today specifically about the voice of the Holy Spirit. The voice of the Holy Spirit. But I want to show you again the distinction between your spirit and the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I'm going to begin reading in the 9th verse. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Now, I want you to notice several things. First of all, verse 9 says, your eyes have not seen all that God has planned for you. There are good things planned for you. Everybody in this room, there are tremendous things planned for your life and eternity. And he says, your eyes haven't seen it. Your ears haven't heard it. Notice he said, neither has it entered into the heart of man. Your heart does not know all the good things that God has in store. But the next verse says, but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. Notice not your spirit, because your spirit doesn't know what God has in store for you. Isn't that right? It just said your ears haven't heard it, your eyes haven't seen it, and it hasn't entered into your heart. Your spirit is in your heart. It hasn't entered into your heart. You don't know it. The only way you can know God's plan for your life is by the Holy Spirit. Everybody here, everybody on earth, God has a unique design for their life. I mean the right career, the right friends, the right way that you conduct yourself, the right place to live, the right place to go to church. There is a right place where it is the place where the condition, the environment where you flourish. And I mean, you just know in your heart when you're like a puzzle piece. You just snap into place. You're like, oh, I just know I'm in the right place. And so many, many, many people, Christians, never get there. Not because God doesn't have that plan, but only the Holy Spirit can tell you what that is. You cannot brainstorm and come up with a good idea. You can't write enough pros and cons to figure out what the right thing is to do. You can't ask enough advice from people to find out who you are because they don't know. And let me tell you something about people. If you don't know who you are, people will tell you who you are. Did you know that? If you don't know what to do, people will tell you what to do and what you can't do because you're no good at that. Let me tell you something. If God says you can do it, you can do it. And you can do it well. Isn't that right? See, but how do you find out who you are? By the Holy Spirit. See, because eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, hasn't entered into your heart, but God reveals them to us through His Spirit. And I know in the passage here, He's talking specifically about the mysteries of the new covenant and that in the old covenant, they didn't see it. They didn't understand everything. But in the new covenant, God began to reveal by the Holy Spirit to people like Paul and Peter and John and these apostles and these people that were early fathers of the faith. And they, many of them, captured these things by inspiration of the Holy Spirit in books and letters, and it became inspired writing that was included in our Bibles. And I understand that he's talking about that, but he's also sharing with us that things outside of yourself you can't know unless the Holy Spirit shows you. You need God to show you what you're all about. And I tell you what, I see so many, many Christians are not fulfilled and they're miserable because they talk to friends. And they hang around with people and say, I'm going to do this. And I'm going to do, you know what you ought to do? You know what you should do? You should. I tell you what you should do. You should listen to the Holy Spirit. That's what you should do. I remember people telling me when I was 17 years old, when I graduated from high school, you need to go into computers because I didn't know what to do. You need to. And I started going in there. Something inside said, that's not who I am. So I dropped out. The next semester, I went to be a paramedic, started school. That just wasn't it. I had to seek God. But I'm telling you, when I sought God and He began to deal with me and lead me, I snapped into place. And I'm telling you, it's the most beautiful things. And I was just thinking about it yesterday as I was meditating on these things. I've been in the will of God for 22 years now. Now, I don't mean that I've done everything. Not everything I've done is in the will of God. You understand the difference? But I'm saying I have not made a wrong career choice. I have not made a wrong marriage choice. I have not made wrong choices that would take me off somewhere. 22 years I've been walking in the will of God, knowing I'm exactly where I need to be. Sometimes I'm not doing it all the way that I know I should be doing it, and so I have to get with it. Thank God the Holy Spirit helps you with those things. But I know I'm where I'm supposed to be doing what I'm supposed to be doing. It's such a blessing. I never think, ever. I've never thought in the past 22 years, oh, I'd like to quit. You know, some people think that way. You know, I just feel like quitting. I haven't felt that way in 22 years. Never did I tell my wife, I just feel like leaving. I just feel like quitting. I'm tired of this. Never. even when times were hard. You know why? Because I know what it's like to be out of the will of God. That's awful. That's terrible. You're just not fulfilled on the inside. It just doesn't set right. But when you're in the will of God, oh, there's peace. Yeah, there may be turmoil going on, but inside, you know, but I'm where I need to be. God told me to be here. And He blesses when you stick with it and stay where He's told you to be. 22 years. And I was thinking about it. I've been in the will of God 22 years. And my wife's been in the will of God ever since she met me. It's true, isn't it? It's true. I got a kick out of that when I thought about it, because it's true. I met Jesus, and I've been in the will of God ever since I met Jesus, and she's been in the will of God ever since she met me. But it wasn't because... it wasn't obviously because I'm so great and everything. Not that I'm not, you know that. But you know what it was? Is because the things of the Word of God that God revealed to me that changed my life, I began to share those with her, and the Holy Spirit revealed it to her, and she began to see herself in a whole new light and began to see God in a whole new light, and she began to walk in the light of what the Holy Spirit was revealing to her. So you don't have to walk out of the will of God. And you shouldn't walk out of the will of God. Learn to be led by the Holy Spirit. And so here in verse 11, he says, "For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him?" We talked about this last week. What man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Notice the question here. He says, how will you know the things about yourself unless you listen to your own spirit? Isn't that what he said? What man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? And we read from Proverbs 20, verse 27 last week, that says, the spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. Not God's heart, his heart. Your spirit doesn't go and seek God's heart. The Holy Spirit does that. But your spirit has been designed by God inside of you to search yourself out. And when the light of the Word of God comes into your spirit, it begins to see more. The more light, the more he can see, and the more he exposes. And then your mind over there is saying, hey, shut that light off, right? Because your spirit's saying, oh, a little pride there. Look at that, little pride. And you were casting it off as if you were being, passionate about the things of the Lord, but really it was pride, because look why you're doing that. You're doing that to be seen. Look at that. Shut that light off, man. Shut that light. Nobody knows this. Nobody knows. Yeah, we know it, and God knows it. That's pride, right? That's what your spirit does. And the more light of the Word of God that comes in, the more your spirit knows what's right and what's wrong. And so, see, when you don't listen to your spirit, that's dishonoring to the Lord, because the light has come in. And I mentioned last night, and I hadn't even thought about this too much, but even an unbeliever can get light even though their spirit is dead and disconnected from God. They don't have life of the God in their spirit, but they can have light because, like here in America, people that have been raised here in America that have heard the Bible and heard the Ten Commandments and those kind of things, they know killing is wrong. They know stealing is wrong. And even though they're not even born again, their spirit, with the little bit of light that they have, will tell them, no, that'd be wrong to steal. They do it anyway. People do it anyway. But inside, they call it their conscience. Their spirit is telling them on the inside, that's wrong. You shouldn't be doing that. And they don't pay any attention, a lot of them, right? But see, when you get born again and the light begins to flood in from God's Word, that's why we got to be in the Word and have CDs and tapes going on, listening to the Word, because it's like an ever-expanding conscience. And God wants you to listen to that. Now, listen to this. Man, the Holy Spirit shared this with me this morning while I was meditating on this. The reason why God wants you to listen to your spirit. Somebody said, well, I thought the Holy Spirit does all of that. Well, He does. In that the Holy Spirit is the one that reveals the Word of God to you. Isn't that what Jesus said? He'll teach you all things. And He'll guide you into all the truth. He's the one revealing it to you. But the reason why God wants you to get it in your spirit and to respond to your spirit is because this is a relationship. He wants you to choose to be obedient without Him always pushing you and prodding you. Come on, come on, be obedient. He wants you to catch the principles and to catch what's right and what's wrong and to choose on your own to love Him. See, obedience is God's love language. I learned that from the Holy Spirit through Kimberly. She learned it through Jesus. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He didn't say send flowers and candy, did he? He didn't say, then give me a hug. No, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's God's love language. Okay? Now, when you have a little tiny kid, you say, do you love mommy? Do you love daddy? Say, I love you, mommy. I love you, mommy. Oh, and you hug him, but you told him to say it. Kind of like a pastor asking for an amen. Isn't that right? I mean, you're glad to get it, but you know, you still ask. You provoked. And you tell the kid, say, I love you. And they do it. But isn't it wonderful when they grow up a little bit and with no coercion, with no asking, with no provocation whatsoever, they just say, I love you, Daddy. Oh, that melts you because, yes, you did insert and impart this whole love relationship and the way we communicate, but on their own, they took the understanding of what blesses your heart and chose to give that to you. And this is what the Holy Spirit is doing with us. He's lifting us back up to being able to relate to God again because sin deteriorated us and brought us down into darkness and cloudiness. And so, yeah, the Holy Spirit can say, go ahead, worship God. Come on, worship God. Speak out. Bless His name. Come on. Lift your hands. Come on, do it. But what God wants is to reveal what blesses God to us, and then we do it when just our spirit says, you know, this is what God likes. God would like us to be obedient here. That's not right. God wants us to do this because the Word says this. And for us just to do it without the Holy Spirit having to tell us again to do it because He's already revealed that to us. You understand that? This is a relationship. God wants us to do it from our hearts. And so that's why He wants us to learn to listen to our spirit and the light that we've received from the Word of God to this point. Thank God. But how many of you know that's not enough? It's not enough just to walk in the light that you know. We need the things that are in the heart of God. I don't know what to do next. I only know what I know to this point. But I don't know what to do next unless the Holy Spirit shows me because my spirit can only reveal what's inside of me. But how many of you know there's a lot that you need to know that's not inside of you? You need to know what's inside of God's heart. So that's where we need the Holy Spirit to take us another step and to show us other things. Other things. Other things. Thank God. Let's just do that in response to what we just talked about with us just from our hearts letting God know we love Him. Just right where you are, stretch your hands up. Let's tell God we love Him. Lord, we love You today. Lord, we bless You today. God, we don't want You to always have to tell us, say You love me, worship me. Lord, out of our own hearts, out of our own spirits, we say, God, we love You. We bless You in this place, Lord. We choose to love You. You loved us, and so we choose to love You. Thank You, Lord. Praise God. Now, thank God. Look over at verse 12. Well, let's look at verse 10 and 12 because they say about the same thing. Verse 10 says, but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. The Holy Spirit is seeking what's in God's heart to reveal it to you. Notice verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. The Holy Spirit knows what God has planned for you, and you need to know that. Somebody said, well, how do I get Him to talk to me? Seek Him. Seek God. Spend time. Ask Him all the time. I wish you could see some of the staff meetings and things we have around here as a staff. We just stop and take time to see God. It's not just plan. Man, we want to pray. We want to pray in the Spirit. We want to ask God. Sometimes we just stop, get before the Lord and say, Lord, we want to know Your will. See, do that. That's called seeking the Lord. And He will be found. You remember Jeremiah 29:11 through 14:8 says, for I know the thoughts, God's talking, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says Lord, thoughts of peace not of evil, to give you hope in the future. But then he goes on to say, therefore, you'll call upon me and go and pray to me, and you'll seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And sometimes that takes time. It's not a two-minute thing. You know, I've asked some people that have been Christians for many, many years, have you ever taken time just to get away to seek God? No. You've never even taken a half a day just to go away and seek the face of God for your life? No. Why not? This is your life. Don't you want to know what's in the heart of God? Don't you want to know? And you just keep going and going and going and going and going, and you never stop to go and to say, Lord, I need you in my life. Lord, I want to know what you have for me. Take your Bible and a notepad. That's all you need, a pen. That's all you need. And God. And go seek him somewhere. Get alone. Say, God, I want your will. Talk to me. Speak to me. Show me what to do. And let him speak to you. Like somebody said, yeah, I haven't talked to so-and-so for a long time. Well, did you call him? No. Do you want to talk to him? Yeah. Why don't you call him? I don't know. Well, call him. You want to talk to him? Call him. You know, God's there. Isn't that right? And here he's saying that he sent the Holy Spirit because he has all these good things in his heart for you. And he sent the Holy Spirit to show you. But if you don't have time, if you don't have any time to listen, then how's he going to show you? You're so distracted, you get in the car, you turn on the music, bang, 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 bang. Well, how's he going to get through all that? Amen. Amen. We're talking about a person that is wanting to have a conversation to show you the good things in the heart of God for your life. It's worth listening. I'll tell you right now, it's worth listening. Thank God. Well, Jesus said in John 14:26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. And then in John 16:13, he says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you, listen, he'll tell you things to come. So you can't find out the future in your own mind. Isn't that right? Only God knows the future. Now, I don't know when you found out about this church, but this whole thing that's happening right now, this whole ministry, interaction, this fellowship that we're in, we're working together. How many of you know there's a plan for what we're doing? This is not just church. I mean, this is an assignment from God that we're on. We're on a mission here. There's an assignment we're on. And God has called you to be a part of this assignment. But I first found out about this assignment before this thing ever existed. January of 1999, my wife and I were at a minister's conference. And a session had ended. It was powerful. The presence of the Lord was there. We were supposed to have a two-hour dinner break, but nobody left. When you're in the presence of God, you don't just, oh, let's go eat. No, let's listen to God. And so I was there thanking God, just kind of walking in the row. There were chairs here and chairs where we were sitting, and just walking up and down the row because there wasn't anybody there, and just saying, thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Praise your name. And I was seeking God because we worked at the National Foursquare Youth Office, and we had such a blessed job. God opened that up for us, and we did all kinds of neat things. I'll tell you about that another time. But I was right where I knew God wanted me to be. And so I was seeking the Lord on some things, some direction in that arena, minding my own business, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And I knew right off the bat, that's God speaking to me. I knew it. And he said, I want you to plant a church this year. Man, I didn't have time to plant a church. In my mind. Now, this didn't come from me. I was not aspiring to plant a church. I was not asking God if he would make me a pastor. I wasn't asking for this. You understand? I was happy where I was. I intended to be in the position I was in a few more years. I thought I'd be there 8 years. Didn't make it. I didn't make it. Because the Holy Spirit spoke up and he said, I want you to plant a church this year. And when he said that, I knew it was Orange County. He didn't say Orange County. I just knew in my spirit from him that he was talking about Orange County. I've never lived in Orange County before. I've never aspired to live in Orange County. You know why? Because I've been in the will of God. You know, when you're in the will of God and you're walking and doing what God says, you're not constantly looking, oh, I really want to be over there. I want to be. No, I've already been outside of the will of God. I'm happy right where I am. I don't care how smoggy it is or how hot it is or how cold it is. I want to be in the will of God. Now that I'm in Orange County, I like it. I like this. And if the Lord moves us closer to the beach, I'd like that too. But I just want to be in the will of God. Isn't that right? The will of God is where it's at, because that's where your fulfillment is. That's where you flourish. And that's where your gifts and the anointing flows out of your life. And so I wasn't asking God for this. Didn't think about it at all. But the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and He began to tell me the things that this ministry would do if I would be obedient to Him and other people would come along and be obedient to Him, the things that He wanted to do through this. Years down the line, He showed me some things and talked to me about some things. Years, things we don't really talk about because there's no need to. It just, the mind can't grasp. My mind can't grasp all of those things. How would that happen? How could that? But years, the Holy Spirit talked. And it's exciting. And so sometimes pastors ask me, you know, you went down there to Orange County and things just kind of popped into place and people started coming. And man, you know, what kind of demographics did you do? You know what demographics are? You know, you study the area, you study the people. What are they like? No, we didn't do any demographics. No, the Holy Spirit said, go do it. We're doing it. That's it. That's the demographics right there. Because my assumption is the Holy Spirit knows who's down here. Isn't that right? He knows all about it. There's no research that can outdo His knowledge. He already knows what to do. Now, I'm not saying that that's bad or negative, that we shouldn't do that. At the direction of the Holy Spirit, we would do all the demographics that God wants us to do. But we didn't do any of it. None of it. I didn't go knock on doors to find out, what kind of a church do you guys want? Because here's what I believe. God wants a church to give them what they need, not what they want. And if they knew what they needed, they'd already be going to a church where they needed. But see, the Holy Spirit knows these things. Being led by the Spirit, that's the ticket. That's the way to go. But see, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. I want you to plant a church this year. And there was no way. Multi-million dollar decisions had to be made to change things that were out of my hands. They were above me in the corporation, in the denomination. Multi-million dollar decisions had to be made for my schedule to clear up to do that. And they were made without me saying one word. After the multi-million dollar decisions were made, then I let them know what the Holy Spirit said. You understand? Talking about confirmation, but we had already told the Holy Spirit we're going to do it. We don't know how, but we're going to do it this year. Thank God. And so that was the year. God led us to this place, and here we went. Thank God. See, that's the Holy Spirit telling us things to come. See, my spirit doesn't know those things. Only the Holy Spirit knows those things. I remember in November of 1996, 5 a.m, right about that time, I woke up and the Holy Spirit spoke to me. I'll never forget it. He said, this is exactly what He said. Start meditating the healing scriptures because you're going to need them in 6 months. That's exactly what He said. Well, how would I know that? How would I know what I'm going to need in 6 months? I don't know. See, you can search your spirit and your mind all you want to. You cannot know those things unless the Holy Spirit reveals them to you. And so the first thing I did, I didn't grab my Bible. I counted 6 months. This was November of 96. December, January, February, March, April, May. Okay, so I said, all right, May. And I thought, we got a big conference we're planning in May up in Portland. Expecting over 1,000 youth pastors to be there. And we're going to minister to them. Maybe that's what that's about. But I don't know. Holy Spirit didn't say that. He just said, start meditating the healing scriptures because you're going to need them in 6 months. No fear whatsoever. No concern, not a bit of fear in it. And so I began to do it. I got my Bible out and I went back and I started at Exodus 15:26, where God said, if you diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, obey all that I command you, give heed to my commandments, and do diligently according to all my statutes, then I'll put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. And then I just chain linked that, and right there I put next to that Exodus 25:26, linked it over to the next one that says, so you shall serve the Lord your God. He'll bless your bread and water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. That's a good one right there to pray over your food, isn't it? He'll bless our bread and water. He'll bless it. He'll change it. Especially if you eat at McDonald's. Pray that over that. That's the word of God, see? And so I just chain linked all the healing scriptures I could find on the computer, whatever. And I began over the next 6 months. I didn't do it every single day. But over the next 6 months, I begin to, on a regular basis, every week, several times a week, I'm just going through those healing scriptures, going through those healing scriptures. So we got to May, and God did do some powerful things in that conference. There were people that were healed, people that were barren, couldn't have children. Kimberly called them up and prayed over them, and we began to get the reports back of conceptions happening and pregnancies going on from these people. Thank God. That's powerful right there. But after the conference, when it got later into the month of May, we noticed some problems with our children. Our daughter wasn't hearing very well. And I was getting on her case because I thought she's just not listening. And then I tested her, had her turn around. Alexandra. And she turned around and said, "Sweetie, did you not hear me the other times?" "No, Daddy." So I said, "Take her in and get her ears checked." And so they took her in. The doctor sent her on to the specialist. They did x-rays. And the doctor said, "Her sinus cavities are filled with infection." He said, "In fact, her right eardrum is bulging with infection." He said, "It's pretty serious." And my wife said, "We're just about to get on some planes because we're going to fly around the country." And we did summer camps during the summer. Spoke at all the different summer camps. Not all of them, but whatever summer camps we went to. We were going to fly all around the country in the summertime. And I'm going to get on the plane in just a week or so after that. And so this specialist said, "No, this girl won't be able to do that." He said, "I'm going to put her on a very heavy antibiotic." And he said, "Then I want you to bring her back and I'm going to put tubes in her ears to help drain all of this stuff out because it's serious. And that's why she's not hearing very well." And my wife said, "What about the planes?" He said, "No, she won't be able to do it. She'll be in excruciating pain." And so they called me up at the office. My wife called me and I'm up in L.A. and I answered the phone. She said, "Well, the specialist said that Alexa has a very serious infection in her sinus cavities and he's going to have to put tubes in her ears. She won't be able to swim during the summer." You know, these are big things for kids, right? We're going to all these summer camps. Texas, you got to swim in Texas. It's bad out there. And so she told me this, and I said, "Okay, I'll call you back." And I put the phone down. Never forget it. Grabbed my Bible, shut the door of my office, and I turned to the scriptures that really had stood out to me over the past 6 months, like Psalm 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. And forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases." Isn't that what it said? And a few others, you know, Isaiah 53 and 1 Peter 2:24, "Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." And I begin to quote those. And I'm telling you, as just a few scriptures, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Psalm 107:20. Just a few scriptures that I began to meditate on. I mean, just 5 to 10 minutes. I don't know what it was. And something came up inside of me. Confidence, faith, and a little bit of ticked offedness. And I got on the phone and I said, "Honey, put Alexa," or her name was Alexander back at that, in those days. That's what we named her. I said, "Put Alexandra on the phone." Now, she was in pain by this time, and she was crying. And I calmed her down. I said, "Sweetie, Daddy was just talking to Father, and Father said, you're healed." Isn't that what the Bible says? By his stripes, we are healed. Didn't say gonna be. You never know when that is. No, by his stripes, we are healed. Jesus has already paid for it in the mind of God. It's already appropriated. We get into alignment and build our faith. See, if I had started planting seed right then, when the problem came, the harvest of faith. See, that's the way the word works. It's a seed, then it begins to grow, and there's a little blade, then the head, then the full grain in the head. That's what Jesus taught us. It takes time to grow. It needs to be watered. Well, only the Holy Spirit knew that. And so I said, "Daddy was talking to Father, and Father says, you're healed." "Okay, Daddy." And she got a phone, and my wife told me later, she said, what did Daddy say?" "Daddy said, I'm healed." So I left work early that day, went home. By the time I got home, she's completely out of pain. Kimberly took her back in. They x-rayed all that again, and the doctor's looking at the x-rays. I like those hmms, don't you? Well, he said, that's all cleared up. He said, it's fine. And she said, "What about medication?" "No, he didn't. She doesn't need any medication. What about the tubes?" "She doesn't need the tubes. What about flying?" "Oh," she said, "how do you feel?" "I feel good." "She's fine." He said, man, that cleared up fast. He said, she's fine. Everything's gone. It's all gone. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Isn't that right? See, how would I know? How would I know 6 months in advance? But that's what Jesus said. The Holy Spirit will tell you things to come. Things to come. And the Lord continually does it. This is not just every once in a while that the Lord does this. I mean, on a regular basis, the beginning of this year, the end of last year, the beginning of this year, the Lord spoke to us and said, we're working on quality at this church, this 2004. We're going deeper. And I told you, all of you that wear diamond standards and such, I let you know, big diamonds at the beginning of the year, I let you know what the Holy Spirit said. We're going deeper this year. Well, this is what we're talking about is part of going deeper, isn't it? Well, how did we know? This has turned out to be a blessing. Lots of new people are coming in, and I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is doing radical things in their life. How did we know that this was the exact time that we were going to do? We didn't know. We knew that at some point, God was going to lead us into the things of the Spirit. But how did we know it was going to be? We don't know unless the Holy Spirit shows us. But that's why we need to seek God. Amen? Everybody say this out loud. I can be led by the Holy Spirit. He's in me. He loves me. He's going to lead me. I'm not too sinful. I'm not too much of a bonehead. It doesn't matter who I'm married to. Or not married to. Or if I'm married. God loves me. He has a plan for me. The Holy Spirit wants to show it to me. I'm going to follow Him and be led by the Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bow your heads with me, would you? Father, we thank you today for the word.